This is Victrios.
All right, this month we've been talking about what I called everything good. Can somebody lift up their right hand and say loud and clear, say everything good,
everything good.
That comes from above, I will experience in the name of Jesus. If you know anything about God, no matter how small you do, you will actually somehow come to this conclusion that God is a good God. God is a good God. Sometimes situations may not make us think he is a good God. Sometimes the devil wants to make us believe God is not a good God. But the Bible makes it abundantly clear that God is a good God. In fact, last week we read from James chapter 1 and verse 17. The Bible says, every good and perfect gift cometh from above. You know, when scripture says every means every. That means that there is no, even when people don't know God, even when people are not in a relationship with God, anything good they're experiencing is from God. It's from God. And the Bible said, it cometh down. I'm believing that in this season, it will come down into your home. Yeah. I thought somebody would say a louder amen. Yeah. So that's how we started off last week. We talked about the fact that these things come from above. It's coming from God, and God wants to give it to you. And you must be receptive. You must take it. Many people think because it's coming from God, it will automatically land on you. No, you take yours. That's why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 and 12, Matthew 11, 12, it said the kingdom of God has been advancing by violence, has been advancing by aggression, has been advancing by desperation, has been advancing by people taking it, people receiving it. Sometimes this thing will not fall on you. There are many things that belong to you that you will not just get on a platter of gold. Some of it you will get on a platter of gold. Some people, when they hear some testimonies, they think that with all the pattern. There are some people, they got their job on a platter of gold. There are some people, they got their spouse on a platter of gold. They didn't really do anything per se. But there are some people, it seems that they fought for it. It didn't mean that God didn't want to give it to them. But there are some devils and some things that try to stand in the way. That's why you have to take it. That's why you have to take it. And I believe God for you this month, in this month of November, as we're counting down to the end of this year, that every good that is still in the heavens that has your name on it will come down. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning, I want to just move on along that line, and I want to say, be the good. Can somebody say it out? Say, be the good. You understand what that means shortly. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 verse 14. I would have said put your hand there and open to the second reading, but most times you are tapping. So let's just open one and then we'll open the next one. John chapter 1 and verse 14. If you've not opened it, that's okay. It's on the screen. Just follow as I read. The Bible says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. This word became tangible. This word left the intangible nature. It left the realms of just idea and became tangible. We could touch this word. This word became touchable. This word was animated. This word became moving. This word was now moving into the community. We could see this word at work. We could see this word at home. We could see this word in person. I believe that every word with God, God wants that word to become flesh. Because the way John chapter 1 started was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. But in verse 14, the Bible said, the Word that was with God now became flesh. In the Message translation, the Bible says, and the Word moved into the neighborhood. So every word with God, God wants that word with him to become flesh. And he doesn't just want it to become flesh. He wants that word to move into the neighborhood. So God needs neighborhood word. God needs moving Bibles. God needs word that people can see. God needs word that has flesh and blood. Word that people can look at and say, that's the word working there. God needs it. There are so many word with God. There are even so many word in church. But there are not as many word in the community. And it is not the word with God that is the most important. It's not even the word in church that is the most important. The word in the community, the word among us, the word in the neighborhood, that's the most important. God wants to be Emmanuel through you. You know, the Bible talks about Emmanuel means God with us. So God wants to be at work, make you the God at that work. He wants you to carry him to the work. He wants you to be that person who will represent him at work. So that's our first reading, John chapter 1 and 14, and then Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Bible says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Just so you know, Jesus is called Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. Jesus is called of Nazareth. Of course, we know that Nazareth is also not his last name. If Jesus had a last name, maybe it would be Jesus Joseph, right? JJ. You know, because that was his adopted father, right? So this is how Jesus got the Christ, our God. Because you see, the word Christ just means anointing or the anointed. Now, the Bible says it here. It says how God anointed Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power. How God let him have a spiritual experience. Just like you, every time you come to church, you're having that spiritual experience. Some people have goosebumps. Some people kneel down. Some people cry. Some people have all kinds of, you know, emotional outpour in the presence of God. Praise God for that. Now, look at what that good experience should lead you into. The Bible says, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Bible said the word was with God. The word became flesh. The word moved into the neighborhood. What was the word doing in the neighborhood? The word was doing good. The word was doing good. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, we see the creation of everything, or at least the creation of our world, because God didn't say so much about how he created we just had God created the heavens and the earth, but he didn't tell us too much about how he created the heavens, because we know there are angels. We didn't see them, the account of how they were created in Genesis chapter 1. We didn't see that. We know that it is a devil, even though God didn't make a devil, but somebody became devil. We didn't see all that account in Genesis 1. But in Genesis 1, we saw how God created our world. And the Bible said that every day after God finishes, God will make an assessment. God will make a verdict. God will give a check. God will do a quality analysis, and he will come to one conclusion every day. Good. Every day. When the Bible says in the evening, when God finishes everything, God will say, and God looked at, the Bible says, God looked at his word, and it was good. Just kept on going like that. Day one was good. Day two was good. Day three was good. Day four was good. Day five was good. 6 day, Genesis chapter 1 and 26, the Bible said, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fowls of the air, of the field, over the birds of the air. And, you know, let him just take charge. And at the end of that day, God did not say it was good. God said it was very good. So I submit to you this morning, you and I are not a product of just average. We are a product of very good. God made us to be very good. That's how God started with us. That's how man showed up. So man is the apex of God's creation, was a very good product. So a man that is a very good product, God wants that man to be a good doer. He wants that man to be a good doer. That's why this morning I'm challenging you. I am saying to you that if all good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of light, and Jesus says to you when you receive him into your life, in Matthew chapter 5 from 13 to 14, Matthew 5, 13 to 14, that you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So if I am, if God is the Father of light, you are light. And if God is good, God is also saying to you, as I am good, you also have to be good. Because when he finished you, what he said was very good. So he expects that you have to also be good. And you have to be good in the neighborhood. You have to be good just like him. This whole word that you are hearing in church, these old things that you are reading from scripture, you have to become the tangibility of it. You have to be the touch, the word of God that wear shoes, the word of God that uses makeup. You have to be that word of God. There are many people that will never be able to open the Bible. There are many people that will not come into the four walls of a church, but there are many that will meet you. Some of these people won't come to church, but they will see you at work. Some of them won't come to church, they will run into you at train stations. Now they to be able to experience this same good God. They need to be able to experience the goodness of God. They need to be able to experience the good that comes from God. And that's why God is challenging you and me today. That you see, everything good is coming from above. God doesn't just want you to experience it alone. God wants you to now become the good. He wants you to be the good. He wants you to be that his representative at work. He wants you to be his representative in your home. He wants you to be his representative in your school. He wants you to be his ambassador everywhere you find yourself. So this morning, let me answer two questions. The first question I want to answer this morning is, when should I be good? Or when should this the good me show himself up? What times? When should I be good? Number one, when you feel like it. Oh, there are times that you feel like being good. You know, you just feel like loving people. You just feel good. Maybe because somebody did something you like. When you feel like it, you have to be good. The Bible says in Second Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1, there is a story of David and Jonathan's son. 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. The Bible says, and David said, is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, what happened here is this. David was the guy who was going to take over from Jonathan's father, who is Saul. And Saul was not nice to David. Saul was really, really, really mean to David. I mean, I'm just kind of even pulling him mildly. Saul really wanted to kill David. He tried many times, but he just couldn't get him out. Now, Jonathan showed David kindness. Jonathan was kind to David. Jonathan, even though Jonathan's father, the king or the president, was against David, Jonathan was for David because Jonathan knew that David had the hand of God upon his life. And so there was this bonding between the two of them. And Jonathan and Saul died together about the same time. And David decided within his heart that I will be good to the family of Jonathan. So he was feeling it, just like you and I. There are times that things will have happened and you feel good and you want to experience, you want to express it to people. Please go ahead and do that. That's a good time to show the goodness of God to people. When you feel like it, there are seasons of our life. Oh, today is my birthday. Something good happened at work today. Something good happened at home today. That day, please be good to people. Be good to people around you. Show them the goodness of God. Find one reason that has been good to you to show them the goodness of God. And you see, you can use a reason no matter how long ago that has been. People have been kind to you. You can go back and revisit those kindness and just be kind, maybe even to their seed. I like this scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keeps his commandment to 1,000 generations. What does this mean? It means God shows goodness for people after so many years. He shows goodness to even their children just because the father worked with him. He shows goodness even to several generations down them. God wants you and I to also be like that. He wants you to be in the mood to show goodness because other people have shown you goodness, or somebody's father, or somebody's boss, or somebody that you know has been kind to you, and you now know somebody through them. You should be kind to them too, through that. So there are times we feel like doing the good. We feel that somebody has been good to us and we are about to pay back. Please go ahead and be good to somebody. Show kindness to somebody. Show goodness to somebody. Let somebody be able to go to bed that night and say, thank God I met so and so. Thank God this person came into my life. It doesn't have to be a big deal. You know, somebody has said it before. He said there may not be many opportunities to do great things, but there is always an opportunity to do good things. It may be small. It may even be a smile. Oh, you don't understand. A smile can go a long way. There are many times you just smile at somebody and you'll be surprised what will happen afterwards. You'll be surprised. I was still at a Starbucks yesterday morning and, you know, it's not my regular Starbucks. I like to drink coffee. Amen. Amen. So, you know, I just smiled to the lady and I said I wanted to use my reward to get something else and then pay for the other drink I was going to get. And because of a smile, I got the first thing for free. The second thing, I was supposed to pay for it. But a smile, I don't know what it did to her, but she just said, don't worry, just take it off for free. I mean, it's not a lot of money, but it's good. Amen. It's good to keep some money in your pocket. So a smile, no matter how small, no matter how small. Some people, they only smile to people. They don't smile to strangers. No, it's okay. Even if you do that plastic smile that we always do here, just grin a little bit and then take it off again. Whatever. Just be kind. Just smile to people. I drop kids up in the morning at school and all of that kind of thing. So every time I'm passing through door people that are just helping us to get into school, I tell them, say hello, greet them, smile at them. And that's what I want to do too to those people. And you'll be surprised, many people will just walk past them as if, I mean, it's your job, so what? Why are we saying thank you? Why are we smiling at you? But you can be good. You can be in the mood to be good. When should you be good, ladies and gentlemen? When you don't feel like it. I think this is the most important part. When you do not feel like it. Oh, are there times that you won't feel like being nice? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, there are many, many times. Many, many opportunities. When it doesn't... Being good is... To you, looks stupid. Being good to you looks as if you are not smart. Being good looks like you are ignorant. You know, sometimes you just want to show the person that I know that you are a bad guy. And I just want to show you that I know. You know, there are times like that. And you don't feel it. You had a report. You know what this person is up to. You know how this person has treated you. You know how that guy at, you know, when you are driving, a guy cut you off. Not too long ago. Somebody just drove. I mean, it was unnecessary. So I pulled up to the guy's front. I just looked at him. I drove up. Because I think something just reminded me that... Pastor. When you now go and say something now, you gotta just say Pastor E. But I mean, there are times you don't feel like, I don't know about you. There are days I don't feel like being good. But no. I just want to give you a piece of my mind. I want to let you know that me too, I'm not a fool. I want to be able to tell you that if not for Jesus, you know, we too, we know how to box. If not for Jesus, I know words that I can tell you and you will be thinking for a long time. That when you get home, you won't feel good about yourself. I know what I can do to you. There are days like that. There are days you don't feel like being good to your husband. Amen. Amen. Okay, maybe. What about your wife? There are days. Oh, yeah. You just feel like, in fact, I don't know what I'm doing here. You know, you just tell yourself that, if not for God, me, you, back in the day when we were in town, where, I mean, you can't tell me that kind of thing. You can't talk to me like that. I know who I used to be. I know what I can do. I know what I can tell you now. And your life will never remain the same. So there are times that we don't feel it. But thanks be to God that we are not like dogs. We are not like cows. We are not like horses. We don't only do things we feel like. Sometimes we have to do what we should do. Amen? Amen to that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, I love the story of this church community here. Paul was talking about these guys. He said that they did not only do what they were that looked convenient for them. They did not only do the good that was only possible to them. They sacrificed. And can I tell you this? If you and I will have to be the good in our community, there are many times you will have to sacrifice. There are many times it will not be out of convenience. It will not be out of comfort. It will not be from a place of, oh, everything is hunky-dory. Sometimes you will have to sacrifice. Sometimes you will do as if you are a fool. Sometimes you will not speak, not because you don't have what to say, not because you don't know that something is bad or somebody has been so terrible to you. Sometimes you don't say things, not because of the present circumstances. You just don't say things or you don't do things because you remember that the word of God says to you, you should be a good person. You should be the good, even when you don't have the ability. Even when the ability is not there, you should be good to people. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. So when should you do good? When you feel like it? When should you do good? When you don't feel like it? When should you do good? When people have been good to you. Amen? Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. I know there's this adage, I don't know if it's a proverb. It says one good turn deserves another. There are times people have been good to you too. And I think that should be the easiest times when we should be good to people. When they have been good to you. This is a good guy. This is a nice guy. This guy has shown me kindness. Just like in the story of Jonathan. The Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 9 verse 1. He said, I want to do goodness or kindness to somebody from the house of Jonathan for Jonathan's sake. And ladies and gentlemen, there are many times you and I need to do that. We need to do things for the sake of people that have been good to us. For the sake of people that have been good to us. You need to be kind to children of people that have been nice to you. That have been kind to you. And sometimes you need to even tell them so that it will encourage them. Oh, that your dad was this to me. Your mom was that to me. I remember recently I went to Nigeria. One of my uncles, back in the day, he will send me, we call it money order. Well, they still call it money order, yeah, in Nigeria. I was in high school. And the money always came like the best time ever. You know, I would just be broke, you know, and then I would get a mail. They would send a slip in the mail saying that I have something at the postal office. And then when I get there, they will give me whatever the money is. Then I get the money, you know. So this, my uncle is no more. He has gone to be with Jesus. So I saw the wife in Nigeria the last time I went. And, you know, we had some conversation and all of that kind of thing. I responded to her, not because of what she said, because she said a lot of things and, you know. But I responded to her because of the husband. Because of what the man did to me. When I was a small boy. I mean, he didn't even need to do it. My dad was, put, you know, I mean, high school, how much money do I need, you know. My dad could take care of. But he was just nice to me. He was just being a kind uncle to me. And I remember that. Some of us need to remember some of those kind of things and be good to people that good has come to us through their progenitors, through people that they know. We should be good to them. So when should you be good? You should be good when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, when people have been good to you. And hear this last one that I want to say. When should you be good to people? When people have not been good to you. I know you don't want to hear that. Oh, yes. Yes, you should be good then too. When people have not been good to you. Look at the scripture. Luke chapter 23 and 24. Luke 23, 24. I think I mixed that up. Is it 24, 23? Let me check my reference again. No, I want the scripture that says, it's like a reference to Matthew chapter 5, 44 and 45. Let's read that first, and then if you can get me the Luke 20-something version of it. I think I mixed that up here. Matthew 5, 44. The Bible says here, it said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despisefully use you and persecute you." Pastor E, what are you saying this morning? Are you reading the Bible? Yes. Verse 44. He says, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven," or that you can be like the good Father, or that you can be like the Father of light. "For he makes the sun," move to verse 44, 5. "For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust." You know, if some of us are God, we will have rain according to some people. The rain will be falling on some people. It will not be rain. It will be hailstone. You know, we will have rain that some people will experience, and we will have the kind of snow some people will experience. That this, you are an evil person. You deserve 9 feet of snow every time. This guy is a good guy. We'll just give him flurries. That's how some of you will believe. But the Bible is saying here, he said, God is not that kind of God. God does not respond to people necessarily by their behavior. He tries to be kind to everybody. And God is saying that to you. And I know somebody is working that in their mind. But some people are evil. Some people are against me. And the word of God says sometimes that it is a righteous thing for God to trouble the things that trouble me. I know. But it is God, not you. It is God that does the troubling. It is God that does the fighting. It is God that does anything you want him to do. It is not you. It is not your own job to now be the one that fights. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, look, we are not waging physical war. Even when people are rude and bad and, you know, all kinds of things to you, you need to understand that our wrestling match are not physical. So we don't deal with people with mortal bodies. It is the devil that moves people to do funny things. And don't get it twisted. It is that devil you should deal with. So take your battle to the spiritual, not to the physical. You in the physical, do what God says you should do. God knows how to take care of the business from there on. So what is God saying to you and me today? Sometimes you don't feel like it. Oh yeah, the boss. Yeah, the boss. That feels like it can just spoil your mood at any time. 4:44. You are supposed to close at 5. 4:44, it sends you that email. We have a meeting. 4:44. And you know that meeting, you are doing 30 minutes minimum. And you already planned. You already have a schedule. It just messes up your day. And you are angry. You are angry is a good word. If not for workplace rules and all of that, you don't mind even giving the guy a piece of your mind and, you know, laying hands on him or her. You know, so those kind of things happen. Your husband, your kids, your siblings, your parents, people will push your buttons. People will do things to you, and your reasonable reaction to it is to be give them back in their own coin. Pay them back the way they've done to you. Do the same thing that they've done to you. But Jesus said this morning, some of you may not want to hear that, but this is Jesus' word. And one of my favorite preachers said, red words. Some Bibles have red ink for the words of Jesus. Whenever you see red ink, there's no argument. You just take it. That's the word from God. Sefinito. And this is red words this morning. And the red word says this. He says, you will be the children of your Father when you do good to people that have not done you good. Can I tell you the truth? Some of the best good you will do will be the people that have not done you good. It is sweet. If you do that, God, who is the avenger, will take care of you. Because sometimes you want to fight the fight for yourself. You want to show the person, I need to make this person know that I'm not a fool. But you can't do it best Let God do it for you. If that person needs to really be dealt with, God knows how to do it. Oh, no, God. If God does it, you, if it's you that will tell God, please, softly. Because God can take care of business. But you, your own responsibility, my own responsibility is to be good to them. Can I get amen to that? Amen. All right, let's begin to wrap this up. How to be good. I just said about some of the times that we can be good. How do I be good? What are some of the things that I can do? What are some of my actions that I can do to be good? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. I'll read this translation, New Living Translation. The Bible says, watch out. Do your good deeds. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. How should I be good? I should be good whether people see me or whether people don't see me. Or in other words, I should not be an hypocrite. I should not be an hypocrite. Because some people, they can be good to you, they can be nice to you when they see you, when you are there, when everything is public, when everything is seen. But if you dare turn your back, that's it. You're a bad person. The same you. You know, I told you about the Hosanna and the Crucifier. It was it last week? The same crowd that were telling Jesus, Hosanna, they were the same crowd that came to say, crucify him. Some people will not even say, you crucify you in your presence. They will always be saying, Hosanna in your presence. But when you turn around, the same them, the same mouth, crucify him, crucify him. See, God is saying this. The way you and I should behave is that what we see should be what we get. What we see should be what we get. They did a survey recently, and they asked what was the major thing that turned people off from church. You know what they said? They said church people are fake people. They said that's it. They said we are fake people. We know the Christianese. We talk church. We, you know, hallelujah, glory to God. But that is just in the presence of the holy brethren. When we leave the holy brethren and go somewhere else, we are different people. It's like we are two people. It's like people come to church and they wear masks. It's like when you see the person you see in church is not the same person that you see at home or the same person that you see at church. We are hypocrites. We are hypocrites. And Jesus had a lot of things to say to people in his days. The Pharisees, he calls them, or the Sadducees. He said, many of you, you know how to act the part, but inside of you, when there is nobody there, you are a very public person, but privately you are a bad person. So how do I do good? I just must, by the help of God, try to be in the presence of people what I will in their absence. What I will be in their absence. That's a good way to practice the good that God has put on the inside of us. So when you see me, oh, and you say, oh, brother, I like your dress. That's what you mean when you don't see me. Because some people will tell you, if you go get me there, how do I look today? Do I look good? Oh, you look very good. And then you turn back and they tell another person, look at his tie. But I just asked you. I just asked you. I just asked you. So how do I do good? I do good. What I do in the private is what I also do in the public. How do I do good? Number two, ask what will Jesus do and do just that. Ask what will Jesus do and do just that. How do I do good at work, sir? Ask what will Jesus do and do just that. There was a slogan that became very popular. I don't know if it's popular. WWJD. What would Jesus do? If Jesus was at work with you, if Jesus was you in that your position at work, what will he do? Some of us, we know the answer. If you don't know the answer, you can search the scripture and find what Jesus does about something like that. What will Jesus do if he was the husband of your wife? Amen? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do if he was the wife to your husband? What will Jesus do? Do we have examples of Jesus treating people or reacting to people based on what they have done to him in a particular and certain situation? What will Jesus do? That's what you should do. That's how you can do good. In John chapter 13 and verse 15. John 13 and verse 15.
John 13:15.
The Bible said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you, or as I have done for you. Jesus said, look, I am your role model. Jesus said, I am your example. If you can find me doing it, that's how I want you to react. Sometimes people say, I don't know what to do. Please find out what Jesus would have done in that kind of situation. Oh, but Jesus, when Jesus was alive, there was no internet. When Jesus was alive, we don't even have a record that Jesus went to work. But there were interactions that Jesus had with people. There were interactions, for example, there was a time that they brought a case to Jesus and they wanted to kill that person. They wanted to judge her. They wanted to condemn her. They wanted to say, well, you know what? You have done the worst thing ever. You are going to die. We're going to stone you. And they brought her to Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus did not judge her. Jesus did not condemn. So that's what you should do. You give people extra rope. You give people room. You make allowance for people. You give them, you excuse some of their behaviors. Oh, yeah. How could Jesus have lived with Judas? Amen. 3.5 years. And the Bible said Jesus knew that Judas was a thief. You know, because sometimes some people be like, if this man is not an anointed man of God, if he's an anointed, how is he rolling with that kind of person? Jesus, the most anointed, was rolling with Judas. And he knew. He knew that Judas is a bad guy. And the Bible said he didn't say anything. In fact, when Judas was going to betray him, Jesus was a good guy. Because Jesus never told them that it's Judas that will betray him. You don't remember? He just said, one of you. He was still protecting this person. He was still saying, look, I know you're a bad guy. I know I will die. And it's unfortunate that you are the one that will, fulfill that prophecy. But even at that, I won't kill you. You will still look good in the eyes of you. If Judas has repented, do you know Judas wouldn't have died the way he died? Because Jesus gave him an entry point back. Jesus said, look, somebody is going to betray me. It is one of you. That's all he said. Somebody that would dip something in the bowl now, And some people got the message. Some didn't. I'm sure Thomas did not know. Because until Thomas, you tell Thomas, the guy's name is Judas, J-U-D-A-S. He doesn't believe. Thomas needs to see more than one evidence to believe. But Jesus was still nice to the guy. So the question is this. What do I do? Or how should I do good? I should do good just as Jesus does it. Or just as Jesus did it. That's what John chapter 13 and verse 15 says. And finally this morning, how should I do good? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Matthew 7 and 12. Remember, we are admonishing ourselves this morning that we should be the good. I know some people may be like, when we have said every good and perfect thing coming from above, Pastor, you should just show us how I will get that my car. I said that last week. I said it comes from God. You just take it. But God doesn't just want you to have the goods alone. He wants you to be the good. He wants you to be the good in walking fashion, in walking ways. The Bible says in here, he says, so in everything, do unto others as you would want them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. How should I do good? I should do good as I want people should. I should do to others as I want them to do to me. I should do to others as I want them. Sometimes some people are saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to be nice to people. I don't. Pastor, please tell me what exactly I should do to my mother-in-law. Please tell me how I should treat my... The way you want to treat yourself. That's the way you want them to treat you. What you want them to do to you. Sometimes people come into a church and say, well, in that church, they don't smile to people. You smile to us, please. Amen. Smile. And just try it. You will find out that when you smile, you will get smiles back. Oh, yeah. Because sometimes when you are coming and people want to smile at you and they see the face, they be like, I don't want to get into trouble. They just keep the status quo and they just walk their way. So whatever you want from people, give to them. Oh, my husband is not romantic. He doesn't. You be romantic. Teach him. Oh, this doesn't happen from there. This doesn't happen from that. The Bible says, what you want men to do to you, do to them. Be the good at work. Be the good at home. Some of us are complaining about our boss, but can I tell you, the way you are behaving now, you'll be worse than the boss. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We can see the way you are already treating your colleagues, the people that are not even reporting to you, the people that will just ask you for one thing. The way you are treating them now, we know you'll be worse than the boss. So do unto others as you want them to do to you. Do unto your siblings as you want them to do to you. Do unto your spouse as you want them to do to you. Do unto your church family as you want them to do to you. And sometimes, I need to put a caveat here. When you start doing unto others as you want them to do to you, sometimes they don't do it back to you. There are some of the people that will not do it back to you. And they may never even do it back to you. I wish I can tell you that as you start doing unto others, everybody will do back to you. No, sir. There will be some people that will not do good back to you. But it doesn't stop it. Because you see, what God does is this. As you are sowing that seed of goodness, as you are doing unto others, there is a way, you just find some random other people doing back unto you as you are doing back unto them. So our admonition this morning is this. As we are going into our workplace tomorrow, as we are going to school, as we are doing life in any area where we are doing the life, God is calling us to represent Him. God is calling us to become the Word that has become flesh. He wants us to move into schools. He wants us to move into our families. He wants us to move into any sphere of influence we find ourselves and be the good and do unto others as we want them to do to us. You know, this particular scripture, they've called it the golden rule. In fact, some people have even taken it completely out of the Bible. They just say, practice the golden rule. Some people don't even know it's from the Bible again. If you search online, just do golden rule. You see this word, and sometimes you will not see Matthew 7:12 there. They just believe that to say, some people will say it's good karma, and they don't understand. It's from the scripture. Do unto others as you want them to do to you. Be the good that you want to see in the world. Be the good. Some people know how to analyze, strategize, and talk about the things that are not good. But please, can you be that good that you are looking for? In that department that you are serving in church, you can be that good. You see, there is the power of the one. There is so much good a one person can do. Sometimes we undermine and minimize the role, our role as one person. We don't know that it just me being my small shining light, I can make a major difference. Who would have known that Mother Teresa could do what she did? Who would have known? Who would have known? Who would have known? There are so many. Look at an organization like Salvation Army. Look at an organization like Salvation Army. The guys that started this thing, they never knew they would be having global impact. No. They just wanted to do good one person at a time. Don't focus on the whole world. Don't focus on the whole company. Don't focus on the whole church. Don't focus on. Just do the little good you can do to the next person that you see. To the next person that you see. If that next person is your spouse, do good to them. Especially family members. Sometimes we need to let people remind our family members that they should be nice to us too. Amen? Because sometimes it's easy to be nice to people you don't really know. But sometimes it's not that easy to be nice to people that you know. This morning I want you to talk to God. I want you to talk to God. All good and perfect gifts comes from above, from the Father of lights, who is raising up lights and salts all over the world, who wants men and women who will be the good, who will share the good, who will reflect Him into a world that desperately needs the good. Will you ask God to make you that person? Will you ask God to help you to be the good? There are many people today, they just need a smile, a hug, a handshake. I want you to ask God, Lord, use me as an extension of your goodness.